Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church, and those downstairs, welcome. Those watching on the video later, God bless you. If there's any way we can be of service to anyone, please let us know. Our banquet of blessing is filled with food items for those, the church family that would like to look at that. Those in the community, stop by, give us a call, and we can help you out. The annual meeting is today at 11:30, so stay on a bit and visit, and we'll have our business meeting. We look forward to that. The flowers on the altar are a memory of Alfred Krasnowski. The anniversary of his death, I think, is the 8th of February. So our sympathies to Dave and Deb and Antoinette and family during this time. There was also a birth yesterday. Evelyn Amelia Hanley to Johan and Shannon. So thanks be to God, the 10th great-grandchild for Herb and Rogine LaPlante. So wonderful. Wow. Incredible. Well, you see all the Bible studies and things going on. Be sure to join. Get involved. Get involved in the youth groups, the children's ministry. Things are thriving. Do you sense the winds of change? The way the wind was blowing last night, it was like, wow, and how cold it was this morning. But all throughout our land, the winds have been blowing. Even the ground has been quaking. Great change, great spiritual opportunities. It's a new day. And for Lauren Whaley today, she was dedicated in 2005, June 19th, I believe, and she will be baptized today. It's a new day, and she'll have something to share with us, too, so we look forward to that. Just take a moment. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, you are revealing yourself to us. We pray that we might see your eyes that burn with fire this morning, and your love just to melt us. We worship you. How great is our God. Amen. So let us stand, if we are able, for our opening song.
The splendor of the King. For God alone my soul waits in silence.
For my hope is from him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation.
My fortress, I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my deliverance and my honor.
My mighty rock, my refuge is in God.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him.
God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion.
In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath.
Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hopes on robbery.
If riches increase, do not set your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God.
And steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay all according to their works.
I see the stars, I hear Would you pray with me, Lord? Or would you? Well, let's pray to the Lord. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Oh, how great you are. How worthy you are of all of our praise, all of our admiration. Oh, Lord, there are no words to even describe. There's no words to fully describe you. There are no words to fully describe how worthy you are. But yet you say, come. Come because I delight in you, my children. Come and lay your praises, for they are a sweet, sweet smell. They are a sweet sound to my ears, and I dwell among you. You are a God who is with us every moment of our lives. In every trial, in every triumph, you are there. You are one who walks with us, who watches over us, who spreads your wings and say, come, hide in my wings and I will give you rest. You are a God who loves us in ways we will never understand. Your mercy flows. It covers all. No matter what we have done or not done, said or not said, you say, come, because I am a good, good Father who loves you. And I will pour out my grace and mercy on you, and I will pour out my grace and mercy on this earth if we would just come and worship him at his feet. Oh, Lord God, hear our prayers, hear our adoration, even in the silence of our hearts. Let us be still and hear your voice. For, Lord, we bow down before you, and we declare how great is our God. So let us join together and declare that in the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The passage is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, and that's page 543 in your pew Bible. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 11 through 20, and that's page 903 in your pew Bible. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that when the handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some Jewish exorcists tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirits said to them in reply, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered them all, and so overpowered them that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. When this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, everyone was awestruck, and the name of the Lord Jesus was praised. Also, many of those who became believers confessed and disclosed their practices. A number of those who practiced magic collected their books and burned them publicly. When the value of these books was calculated, it was found to come to 50,000 silver coins. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And this is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. And let us pray. This is the time for prayers for our church. I thought I had a few, but I got some more. I'm going to start with some praise. That little baby born into Rajan and Herb's family, a child that was said never to be able to be conceived, and she has born a baby. So we just give thanks, praise, and blessing over the life of the Hanley family and Herb, and just how happy they must all be to have a child of their own. God will bless those who have desires for him and for what he wants for them. Just an awesome thing to think about. We thank you, Krasnowskis, for the flowers this morning, and just a blessing over the family. And Nancy Stankovich, too, lost her dad about a year ago as well. So just remembering them in our thoughts and cares, and just losing family is always difficult. That brings me to our current families who are suffering loss, from the Mortons, the Dayton, Dunn, and Nelson families, for the healing and for time, because we know things don't just pass quickly. We need to observe those times and have much mercy and grace. Let's see. We do have Liz is recovering, Liz Montambo. She's doing well. The doctors didn't want to believe her when she said she had something going on, but they found it. However, she still needs more surgery. So she is recovering and waiting for an appointment for sometime in the very first week of February. So she's doing well, a little tired from this procedure, but she's progressing in that way. And Millie, too, tells me that she has an appointment tomorrow, so we need to be in prayer for her to pass this particular doctor's testing, that she will be able to move forward with her knee surgery in the near future. And she can't wait to have him say go, and she can make that appointment and get started. So we thank you for that. We have Pete Bukovich. We want to raise him up. He is 96 years old, and he is now currently in the hospital. I haven't had a morning update, but he was admitted with COVID. So that can be a bit of a intake right there, but I heard from another friend whose husband is in a nursing home. He's 97, and if your body is strong, you will survive, and he did. He walked right through it like nothing was happening. So we just ask for that peace, that comfort for Peter. Just be with him, Lord, as he goes through this particular time in his life. Lord, we want to lift up our country. We want to lift up everything that you are doing. The wind is indeed blowing. Things are indeed changing. We need to be alert to what you are doing among your churches, among your people, I should say. Those who hear your voice and respond to you alone, Lord, guide us in these days ahead. Help us to pray for this administration, for the Congress in session, and for all those who are in participation in and around our Washington, D.C. government areas, and for our military and what the demands on their lives might be in these next weeks or months ahead. Definitely things are changing, Lord. Let us be found in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I
Well, this morning, Lauren Elizabeth Whaley, she presents herself to the church for the sacrament of holy baptism. We rejoice in God's promises to Lauren, her family, to all taking this step of faith today. In the scriptures, Jesus gives the promise and the call. His words. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I've commanded you. And lo, remember this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the promise. And Lord, we know that the Lord has been with you. We were praying for you before you knew us. There were a couple Sundays or one Sunday when there were calls coming back here on a Sunday morning. Maybe a miracle needed to happen, and it happened that day. And you are here. You are a miracle. And you are loved and cherished. And I want to share this scripture and then invite you up. From Romans 6, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might rise, walk in newness of life." That's a wonderful scripture. So Lauren, come on forward. Come and share with us.
Hi, I'm Lauren Whaley, and I'm 16 years old. I grew up knowing the Lord and hearing all about his amazing grace and how he loves us. The first Bible verse I memorized was John 3:16. As I grew older and had been going to Camp Squanto, I became open about my faith and talked about God and his word to whoever would listen. Psalm 139 has also had an impact in my life. At some point in our lives, we struggle. My struggle has been body image and because society has some beauty standard. But I started to focus on Psalm 139:14. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have faced many challenges to accept me for who I am, but I am made in God's image and I love myself because this is how God created me. I have decided to be baptized because I want to take the next step and take this opportunity to show I am ready for the future and that I accept Jesus fully into my life. I am not scared if people mock me or mock the Lord. Psalm 37:13 states that, "But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming."
Well, come on and stand in the middle here, Lauren. Thank you for sharing about God's grace in your life. And today is a new day. It's a new day. It's driving a stake into the ground by faith. What, you know, earlier today, yesterday, any part of an old life is done. It's dead. It's crucified today. Nothing will dominate you. Just the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I believe that for you. I know you believe that for you. Be encouraged. The Lord is with you. So here's the making of promises. I know you've looked at these before, and we met yesterday, so nothing new here. Lauren, do you now desire to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
I do.
And proclaiming this covenant with Jesus Christ, you renounce all the powers of evil and declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel.
I do.
Do you repent of your sins, confessing Christ as your Savior and Lord, and living as his faithful disciple?
I do.
Two more. Will you devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer?
I will.
And lastly, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will you do all in your power to participate fully in the life of this congregation, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Wonderful. And how about us, church family? People of God, will you promise to uphold and support Lauren in her life, her new life in Christ? If so, say, with God's help, we will. With God's help, we will. Hey, that's a lot of support. All right, let us pray. God, our Creator and Redeemer, you have called us from death to new life. We thank you for that, your resurrection power. We thank you for your saving love in Jesus Christ our Lord, for this sacrament of grace, what it means to the church. As we baptize with water, would you baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire? As we speak, let it be your word. As we act, let us do your work in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, Lauren. You ready for this? Lauren Elizabeth Whaley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Family members, a few people are going to come and gather around you and pray. The laying on of hands. I want you to hear this scripture. I have it in your certificate, too, as people are gathering. This is from Song of Songs 8, verses 5 through 7. And this is about the Lord's love for you and the Holy Spirit and God's presence with you. This is from the Passion Translation. Who is this one? Look at her now. She arises out of her desert, clinging to her beloved. When I awakened you under the apple tree, as you were feasting upon me, I awakened your innermost being with the travail of birth. As you long for more of me, fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave, all-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore. Amen. Maya's going to begin the prayer.
Morning. The Lord's just been talking to me about you, and for a couple days, actually, when my dad told me that you chose to be baptized, and he wants you to know some things. He calls you by name. He calls you his warrior princess, his warrior bride, and that means so much right now in the world that we're living in, because so many people that are his they've bowed down to the god of this age, and they're saying the things the god of this age is telling them to say. And he calls you by name, and you say his words, and he knows that. And make no mistake, he says, make no mistake, I created you to stand out. I created you to stand out. You have such a call on your life, and you are stepping into it. And today is just such a beautiful day, because he's baptizing you not just with water, but with fire and with power and his Spirit. So, Father, I thank you so much for the fullness of that, this promise that you would do that. Lord, I know you've spoken to me about how you've seen her. You've seen even the people that have been mocking her, Lord. And I just praise you for her testimony, Lord. I praise you that you know that you do laugh at the mockers, Lord, and that you've given her a spirit to be able to laugh as well, and not in anger, but in joy, knowing where she stands, and in love, knowing that the people that are mocking her are going to turn to you, because you've called her for such a time as this to turn those hearts back to you, Lord. So I thank you for the call on this girl's life. I thank you for the call on this warrior princess. Lord, I ask that even right now you come down in fire and power, and that you give her your spirit, that you baptize her with your spirit, Lord, that she would walk away from here speaking only your words and thinking only your thoughts, and you're purifying her like silver. You are making her look exactly like you. So I thank you, Lord, for this new wineskin. I thank you, Lord, that she is now alive in you, Lord. And I know that she has been, but this day is set apart because she has chosen to lay down her life of flesh and pick up her life in you. So, Father, I just praise you for this woman of God. I thank you. I ask that you seal her, like my dad said. You already have. You have sealed her for this time. And, Lord, I just ask that you continually surround her with an angelic host, an angelic army that keeps her ears from the God of this world, the things that she might hear in school or in this world in general. Lord, I ask that you protect her heart, that you give her a double portion of your spirit to know what is true and what is not. I just ask for discernment, that she would be able to know exactly what is right and what is wrong at a moment's notice, and would never, ever be afraid to speak the truth. Lord, I ask for a double portion of courage and a double portion of faith, that she would be bold in everything that you've called her to do, and that she would not back down in any way. So we praise you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for what you've put inside of this woman. We thank you for her, and we just praise you for the miracle and all the things that you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I have a certificate for you, Laura. God bless you. Go enjoy and serve the Lord. God bless. All right, kids, come on up.
Do it.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Forget I have a mic. I keep put that up. So, my sermon this morning is Choosing Your Center. What a day of celebration! She has chosen her center. It's kind of cool this morning. Was not this exciting? This is exciting. So choosing our center is also, AKA, shining a light on the idols in our lives. Do any of you remember, because I know somewhere in this study, the study we did titled The Story? Maybe not. It's been a while. I know some did. So it basically is a story form of the Bible, kind of a recap with a study guide. But each and every chapter had this clock at the center, but it wasn't a clock. It was a dial, had dots all around the outside edge, all our idols, I believe. And in the center was the chair, the seat, the throne. And we were to question ourselves, are we on that seat? Or is our Lord on that seat? So I, boy, have a scrabble over that, wanting to sit in that throne sometimes because I think I know what I want. And it should never be so. So with that, the world tells us this, and my kids heard this a lot when they were in school in the mid to late 60s, trying to provoke children to think about doing something, not just letting others. The statement was this. They say that not making a decision is indeed making a decision. And that was supposed to provoke students to consider things in their world and to figure out a way to do something about that. Of course, it didn't really include God because it was in school, but. So, our choices, whether good or bad, set us on a path that will guide us all in our life. But there is a light, brighter than any light on this earth, which will guide us well. That light shines very brightly. It shines brighter than the earth, which will be the guide. The light shines very brightly in the shadows, into the shadows of darkness, in those dark places where we tend to hide our deepest and darkest secret desires, especially if they are not God-centered choices. We seem to know the difference. Remember, life does have its temptations and its idols. We can be tempted into thinking that this is an important thing and should be above all others. But indeed, it holds us hostage, keeps us from our true purpose before the Lord. We need this light. We need this light so much in our hearts to help us with our choices, to challenge our very idols. Matthew 6 and 33 tells us to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all our desires will come to pass. But in that, our desires, do you really think we're going to get the desires of our life hidden in the dark places? Probably not. The influence of the Lord would guide us, and our desires will come into alignment with what he desires for our lives. God wants us to be in abundance. He wants us to know his full provision. This is his work for us. He's just waiting to be our blessing. But where is my heart and where is your heart? looking or seeking after desires ahead of seeking for God and his desires or his love for us could be a way to justify myself and thereby cancel the better plan that God has. Honestly, I can actually get pretty conflicted about what's going on in the world and what I want to do about it. God made provision from the beginning. He knows what he is going to do, and he knows when he will do it. His time is not our time. Humanity has always desired more. In the beginning, God provided all things, every last detail we would ever need. Boy, has it been a battle since the Garden of Eden, since our beginning. So God did make a way back. He was already prepared. He's given us choice. He's given us free will. His heart always hoping we will choose him. Choose him first so we would know his love and his provision forevermore. A scripture this morning was all about Paul and miracles and wonders and doing all the things that Paul had determined in his heart to do. There had been many miracles. There had been much preaching in the synagogue. And every person who went out from there took God's word as new believers in the way, as Christians, went out and told others. And others came. And all the things that were going on in that particular area was called Asia, is now called Turkey. Think about these things. And the seven cities that we all talked about here not too many months ago, all of them wrap around Ephesus. They're all there. Where they all were there then. Not many of them exist anymore. But Paul just kept on. His heart made a determination long before he ever got to Ephesus in Christ. I want to know Christ and him crucified. That's all I ever truly want to know. How much did he throw away from his past? All of his training, all of his traditions, everything that would have made him in the world the top. Top of the rabbis, probably that Pharisee of Pharisees that he talks about. A keeper of the law, a keeper of a tradition, so hard on that fact, he could not see God's grace until he fell off the donkey in Damascus. So we know how much it's meant to Paul to, no matter where he is, to always be speaking about God. So let's go into the next text just a little bit. There are other things in the first text. We heard about the sons of Sceva. They didn't know Jesus from the heart. They just knew about him. Let's just say that did not go well. If you want to use the name of Jesus, you better know him because he has the power. But they were shown that day that they did not have the power. They had made him some sort of an idol, but they did not make him their head. That did not bode well. So we'll just go on from there, because there's more idols. Ephesus was known for an idol. Now, after these things were finished, Paul had done all he could do. He'd been there a couple of years already. After it was all done, Paul resolved in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. After he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he already knew in his spirit where his travels were going to take him. Well, after he sent to Macedonia two of his assistants, Timothy and Erastus, he stayed on there in Asia just a little while longer, just long enough for there to be a disturbance among the people. And it was directed at the way, at the Christian movement, at the word of God, and at Jesus himself. A man named Demetrius, whose business was as a silversmith, who made shrines to the goddess Artemis. Now, Artemis was just an idol made of silver. It can't talk, it can't walk, it can't see, it can't hear. But they were bound that the way had something to do with it. Well, it sort of did because the word went out. And he got his people so worked up that they began to riot and get out in the streets and protest, and there was all sorts of confusion among the people. They didn't even know what the riot was about. Some were just yelling to be out there yelling and not have a cause. But they yelled their way all the way into the theater of Ephesus. And it must have held up, but I can't imagine it was just a couple hundred people. These people massed the theater and would not settle down. They wanted some kind of They wanted to recoup what they thought they were losing. He had noticed one thing, that people weren't buying his idols anymore. Kind of affects your income stream. And they didn't think outside the box. There was nothing else they could do, right? So it took them 2 to 3 hours. One of the notes I read said 11 to 3, so that's more like 4 hours of screaming and yelling in the theater and not being able to get their attention to say, well, down. So finally, the town clerk of the town, we all know we have town clerks. It wasn't the first electman. It wasn't the governor. It was the town clerk. Said, stop. Do you know what you're doing? Paul had never said a word against their God. He didn't go out in the marketplace and say, don't buy that. He just preached Christ and him crucified. That's all that he did. And they already knew that he'd done something in and around that city. So we just look at that and we're seeing these things in our own time. People confused, some out of control. It's just mind-blowing. The thing to remember is there's nothing new under the sun. We do what we did and we'll do it again if we don't learn not to do that. And sometimes that's a really hard lesson. So while he's trying to drum up his business, he caused a lot of mayhem and trouble to the point that the city was ready to call out the guard. So here, Romans, here we come. And he told them, you go to the councils, you go to proconsul, you go to the court, you make your charges appropriately. At which point they finally decided they better go home and be quiet for a while before the Romans came to get them. So that is definitely a word to consider. We need to know. We need to know our center. We need to know who sits on that center, who is on the throne in my life. So Asia has been up and down. They believe, they've not. They're back into idols. What can we say? The truth will come forth. So I was going to do a sticky note with my list of idols, and I decided it was too short even for me. So let's just consider a few things and where some of our idols might come from. In the beginning, it was pride. Adam and Eve wanted more. They figured they didn't have enough. They needed more. So pride sits right at the top. It's like a feeder to everything else do in our lives. How about in the U.S. being independent? Aren't we told that this is our primary goal in life, to be able to take care of ourselves, not have to interfere in others' lives? instead of being interdependent in God and in his ways? How about being strong-willed? Anybody strong-willed in here? Nobody strong-willed in here? I think all of us have a little bit of attitude when it comes to being strong-willed. It's a good thing if the Lord is leading it. And that was seen in Paul in his strategy to know Christ and know nothing else. Christ and him crucified. He was totally satisfied with knowing Christ and him crucified. So here's another one. Thinking I have the right answer and not listening very well. Yet never take our eyes and go ask, or take our hearts and just go and sit before the Lord and see what he says I should do. That's a good one for me. You just go off and you do your thing because you can. How about fears in this day and age, right now, in these months? I'd written a note in my journal last night thinking about 2020, and, you know, most of us were very willing to say, bye, so long, get behind us, be another year. And yet, what have we walked away from 2020 with moving into 2021? I know I didn't say this earlier, but in November, right before elections, maybe I shouldn't even be talking that, but the Lord just hinted in my heart that getting by elections was not the answer. And wherever we were going to go, it didn't matter who was chosen. Was this not a path for the church to actually wake up? Are we not being put into a position to question who's in our center? It stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, okay, I got to write that down or I'll forget this. No, I won't forget this. Because God's doing a work. Are we all aware that he's doing work? Not only in us as individuals, but in us as a church. In every single church in this world, not just here in the United States, but across this globe, people are being asked, who's on your throne today? Who's going to be on your throne tomorrow? Where and stand strong in. Because if we have to stand up and be strong in it, we cannot be wishy-washy about it. We will have to make a stand. And the only true stand is God. Him and him crucified. Our Lord Jesus is our answer. He's brought us to this place. Do we hear that call? Unfortunately, I think I might be hearing that worse than anybody else, but we'll just keep going here. So that's Idol Worship 101. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. All this is such good reading. I cannot encourage you enough. Be in the Word. The Word is our answer. It is spoken for our futures. It is spoken for God's purpose in our lives. It is for us today. Ecclesiastes, yet again, the conclusion, when everything has been said and heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act of judgment, every hidden thing, whether good or evil, to be seen and judged. Even Solomon, in the end of his life, realized it was only God, because he certainly wandered away. What would our lives look like if we truly centered our time, our energy, our emotions, and pursuits around meeting with God? All of us choose a center in our lives, all of us, around something or someone. starts in our childhood with something we see when we can disseminate even a little bit that something is different, and I need to remember that, and it goes with us through our lives. And yes, it gets changed, but what is the influence for those decisions in the future? For some of us, we center our lives around ourselves. For others, we center our lives around opinions of others. Still others choose to center life around notions or concepts, believing it to be of the highest value. Is it really the highest value? Proverbs tells us when men think, it's not good. Just saying, we have to beware our own thoughts. My prayer is the body of Christ would begin to center our lives while here on earth around meeting with our Creator God, because He is absolutely the most worthy recipient of our highest value. To center our lives around meeting with God is to place value on the absolute best thing ever. Psalm 84, you'll go look up the verses. That way you'll read the whole chapter. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Where we place our trust and value in God, we position ourselves to live in full relationship with the Father who loves us. Our God longs to meet with us. We've got to know this. Our heart does know this. He longs for us to taste and see his goodness. It's only in living each day in communion with our Creator above all else, that we will experience the incredible and abundant life God longs to give to us. So pray, spend time meditating on his word. It's there for us to see what he is doing in us and through us and certainly around us. There has to be at some point the realization that God is always, always working in and around our lives. And if you need to know where I got that from, it's experiencing God. Confirmation. All this week, everything. So know this. Know this beyond the shadow of any doubt you might have in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, go there, read it. Paul says, beware the idols. They will subdue you, and take you away from what you truly wanted to worship. So beware. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. So important. Well, for most of my life, from my mother taking us to church, dragging us to church as children, from Sunday school, I would say I believed. I'd heard the message, but did my actions, my time, my thoughts, my emotions reflect that I believed in Christ? How do we spend our time? We spend it with those we love. We center our emotions, actions, and thoughts around whatever person or thing we most value. Unless our lives truly reflect a posture of being centered around Jesus, we must take an honest assessment of ourselves. Scripture tells us to do this. And ask God to pray and in prayer to help us make those changes. We must bring our brokenness and our sin, our idols, out of the darkness, out and into that light that is Jesus Christ, before God, and ask for his perfect help in transforming us into children marked by his presence. Where is my life not centered? There's our question for all of us around meeting with the Lord. Meeting first and foremost. Where have I been placing my value, energy, time, emotions, other than on Jesus? We are in a time that is surely calling us to truly seek the Lord. We have some heavy questions and answers to be had. We are told to examine ourselves in light of the word and adjust. Let us do this. Galatians, first chapter. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? This is Paul talking. You know where this is going. I'm trying to please man. If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. He knew exactly where he stood. So in your quiet time, commune with the Holy Spirit to help you recenter your life today. With God, all things are possible. Without him, nothing is possible. Ask him to show you what it looks like to truly center your life around meeting with him first. Make the decision to value this relationship above all else. From Proverbs chapter 8, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me the answer. I know that most of us know Jeremiah 29:11. God does have a call on our lives. He has a plan. He says it's a good plan. Do we honor that plan? What does the next verse tell us? Have we ever read farther than 29:11? It tells us to seek God and he will seek for us. And in that, we have all the confidence we need to know God has a plan when he sits at the center of our lives. In Jesus' name, I'm just going to say amen. I'm going to pray us into our offering time, and then we will sing our doxology, okay? All right. Got a little off track there because we made a change. That gives us a hiccup. So let us pray. Oh, Lord, we just thank you that you've called us, and you've called us to see that you are the desires of our heart, that you want to be in the center of our lives, and not just in a few things, not just on Sunday morning, but you want us involved in everything. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We come and we worship before you. Every song today, I can hear you calling out to each one of us. Sometimes it's better to read the words in a hymn than to sing it, because we don't always hear what we are saying when we sing. But we sure can worship through music really, really well. So Lord, as we come forward to leave our offerings, to say thank you for a great week, a good month, because you've been involved in it, Lord. How great is your name in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Rise. Let us sing, I think it's number 31 in our hymnals. Let us go this day. Let us go, remembering who our center is, calling on his name as we walk through our week. Bless each and every one, for God is among us. In Jesus' name, amen.